either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa man yuqa shuhha nafsihi fa ulaika humul muflihun. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the new Islamic year, the year 1440, and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our past sins, major sins, minor sins, our shortcomings, the sins that we remember, the guna that we don't remember, the sins that we have committed quietly, openly, in the residence, in our travel. May Allah delete all of the sins, and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the days that are in front of us and that death that is in front of us, until we meet maut, may Allah give us the strength, the energy, that we show complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, in our session tonight, I want to highlight some of the important lessons that we can learn from Hijrat. The Hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, living in a Western society, what we see is that in the Western world, when you have the new year that comes, the 1st of January, the new year is celebrated with a lot of music, dancing, drinking, screaming. You will see the firework display in which thousands of pounds have been spent. There is a lot of zina that is done, and people do all sorts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. When you look at Islam, whenever there is any moment of joy for a person, for a believer to be happy, you will see that it comes after a very important purpose. And so as a reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the permission to enjoy the moments that Allah has blessed him with. So for an example, Eid al-Fitr. So Eid al-Fitr comes after Ramadan. Great toiling, great sacrifice, fasting for 29 days. A lot of mujahada is done. And then at the end, the repayment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, enjoy your Eid, Eid al-Fitr. If you look at Eid al-Adha, the same concept. It comes immediately after the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the qurbani that he did. And so we follow the qurbani, that pattern, all of the Muslims in the world. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again has said, now you have your Eid. You can enjoy. This is the time where, this is your Islamic festival. So Eid al-Adha. And so even Muharram, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. So you will see also Muharram comes after Hajj. Muharram comes after Hajj. The very last mujahada, it is Hajj. So people have done Hajj and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people of Iman this new year, the Islamic year, Muharram. And when we look at Muharram again, the Islamic calendar, what we need to understand is that during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when the borders of Islam had opened up in every region and Islam had reached every part of the world. So Hazrat Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala an wrote a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an saying that the governors and your governors in the Islamic Empire are finding it difficult to actually reconcile with your correspondence. Why? Because the system of date did not exist. So even in that time, what would happen is that they would have a rough guess and estimate, and everything was working after the incident of feel. Incident of feel. And feel means what happened to the city of Makkah when Abraha came with the elephant. So that was a big event in Arabia. So that is how they would assume their dates. So they would say 50 years after this, 60 years after this, 70 years after that. So it was very, very difficult. So whenever there was an order or some kind of a letter that was given, it was quite difficult to ascertain that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he said this, what was the date when he's saying this, what do we do? And so this was quite difficult for the Muslims. So he said, Hazrat, now we have to actually sort out something and we should come up with an Islamic calendar, an Islamic date. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said that is very true, very important. And so what he did is that he called all of the senior companions. So all of the elite, most senior sahaba were with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an to decide that how will the Islamic dates function until the day of Qiyamah. So this khidmat also Allah had given Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Now we see here again that whenever there is an important event or a situation, the sunnah is that you must take mashwara. The sunnah is that you must take mashwara. There is great barakat in mashwara. And you see Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an did not take a unilateral decision that, look, I am the Amir, this is what I am doing. Otherwise it would have been accepted, but he didn't. He invited all of the Sahaba and took their opinion. And in fact, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, washawirhum fil amr. Allah said to him in the Quran when the verse was revealed that, O my Nabi, also invite your companions in mashwarat and take advice from them. So this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to this ummah. So to have a meeting and to take an opinion, and nobody must take offense if his opinion is not accepted. Nobody should take offense. Hamare tabligh bhai jaate hain na, to pehle mujhe yaad hai wo mashwere ke usool ko bayan karte the, sahi nahi isme. Or yun kehte the, bhai naraz nahi hone ka. So alhamdulillah, that is how it is. It is taken out from the sunnah of Nabiye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he got all the companions and he says, okay, how should we fix our calendar? Now the Christian calendar was already there. So some of them said that their opinion was, what about after the demise and the death of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Some of them said, no, when the first ayat of the Quran was revealed, Iqra, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, that should be the beginning of the Islamic calendar. And some of them said that, no, that from the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so many opinions were given. And one opinion also that was given was that, what about the hijrat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an looked into all of the different opinions that were there, and then it was finally decided. He said that the Islamic calendar will function by the hijrat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the reason for that, as explained, he said that it is after hijrat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up Islam immediately in the Arabian Peninsula and also throughout the world. So before hijrat, there was complete restriction. Islam did not pass, did not go forward, was not being propagated anyway. It was very, very difficult. There was restriction in Makkah Mukarramah. But after hijrat, alhamdulillah, the door opened up and many, many people entered Islam also from the Arabian Peninsula. And then during the Khilafat, other people, mashallah, other parts of the world, other countries, all of them also embraced Islam. So it was decided that it will be the hijrat of Nabiye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said that it is the hijrat that defines haq and batil, haq and falsehood, and something that is haq, truth. So alhamdulillah, the calendar that we have, the hijrat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are many, many lessons that we should learn. Inshallah, very briefly, I want to touch on three things that we learn from the hijrat of Nabiye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is of benefit to every one of us. Number one, if you look at the hijrat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the migration. When I say hijrat, hijrat means migration. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam moved from the city of Makkah and he got to the city of Medina Munawwara, that is called hijrat, the migration. You will see that in the hijrat, before the hijrat, before the migration, prior to migration, if you look at the life of the companions, what we see is that there was immense sacrifice that was given by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his family, and also his companions. A lot of, subhanallah, sacrifice was given. And what we learn from this is that with sacrifice, collectively, when the ummah does a lot of mujahada, a lot of sacrifice, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to the people of Iman. That is there. If you look at the sacrifice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would throw filth and rubbish on his path. Can you imagine that it is dark and during the winter season that you open your front door and it is Fajr time, very, very cold, and you go out and you see there is filth, rubbish, thorns that are all scattered on your path, on your doorstep. And the intention is that when you walk, obviously there was no lights then, it would be very, very difficult for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to get to his masjid also. This kind of difficulty daily for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Makkah, when they would see him in sajda, some would plot and they would say, throw a stone at him. Some would say, Aliyadhu billah, that you know, that animal has been made dhabah, and so bring the filth, the intestines, and all the filth of that animal that is there, blood and all that, and place it on the neck of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is what they would do. Allahu Akbar. And they would want to spit on the path of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They would scream at him. They would call him Majnoon. Allahu Akbar. Imagine if you were walking on the road and somebody said to you, Oi, madman. Allahu Akbar. What would we do? Oi, madman. What would we do? Oh, he's a poet. Oh, don't listen to him. Anybody who comes, oh, why do you go to him? Who is he? Mockery. Allahu Akbar. This was the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sahaba ikram ajma'in. He went to Taif, they threw stones at him. Look at the sacrifice. Look at the difficulty of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then eventually, he gave permission to his companions that slowly, slowly you can go. And he was from the last people to move from Makkah Mukarramah. And when he did Hijrat, he was accompanied by Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And what happened is that they said, anyone who gives us information, just information, 100 camels will be given to him for the whereabouts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make that straight line going to Medina Munawwara. And what he did instead, he chose that they thought that he's out of Makkah Mukarrama, whilst Allah's Nabi was still in Makkah, and he took refuge in that cave which is called Thawr, Ghare Thawr. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an went in the cave and he saw that cave, there were many, many holes. Now when you have many holes in the desert, despite the fact that it is so hot, you still have very poisonous creatures that live there. Poisonous creatures that are still there. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq started to clean the cave first, everything. And he filled the holes that were there. And he saw Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very tired. So out of respect, he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am sitting and you can rest your head on my lap. And he said that so that he could stretch one of his leg, and there was a hole that was open so he could cover that hole in case something came out. And so in the books of Seerah, it comes that there was something inside that hole and it bit Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And slowly the poison had entered into the body of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and the color of the face was changing, but he would not move, not to disturb Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And only when the tears were coming out from the eyes, because of the pain that was there, unbearable, the tears of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an fell on the cheeks of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up. Immediately he noticed. And he says, Ya Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, what is the matter? And there again, a mu'ajiza was witnessed. Subhanallah. Meri aur aapki thunk to badbudar hai. Meri aur aapki thunk to badbudar hai. You know, when you go to sleep and if there's saliva on the pillow, the wife will have to wash the pillow, bichari. Why? Usse khushbu thori niklegi, usse to badbu nikalti hai. Badbu nikalti. But the saliva of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, shifa. More shifa in the saliva than zamzam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his saliva and he placed it there on the foot where something had bitten Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Immediately Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq says, Allah gave him shifa. Allah gave him shifa. And these are the things that we need to remember. This is our history. And then it comes in the Seerah Kitabs that look at the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today how much we enjoy Islam, and this is due to their sacrifice. Ye hijrat. Hijrat is with sacrifice. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, if the mushrikeen were to look down, they will easily see us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's famous words, which are recorded in the books of Seerah. He said, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِإِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثَهُمَا. O Abu Bakr, what is your opinion of those two that Allah becomes their third? That Allah is their third. So what Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, you don't need to worry. The two with us is Allah Pak. The two with us is who? Allah Pak. Subhanallah. And so complete, subhanallah, tasalli. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was given the full confidence that you don't need to worry. That is why the poet says that Hamalta Musa fit tabut. Oh Allah, you protected Musa alayhi salam in a basket. You protected Musa alayhi salam in a basket. The mother was told, put your baby in the basket, in the river Nile. And the basket is flowing in the direction of Fir'aun. Imagine the Qudrat of Allah. And Hamalta Yunus fi batnil hut. And you protected Yunus alayhi salam in the stomach of a fish. This is how Allah protects. Hamayta Muhammadan bi buyutil ankabut. And you protected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by the web of that spider. By the web of the spider. So when they were actually there, they noticed that, oh, there's a spider's web. And how can anyone possibly be on the other side? So they did not even go in that direction. They just turned away. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on this side. And so if you look at the sacrifice of Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in, so when we look into Muharram and the new Islamic calendar, and it is based upon the Hijrat of Rasulullah, we should have a few understanding, this new year, the Hijrat, that there is a lot of Mujahada. And Mujahada came from the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had one daughter whose name was Zainab. Now she was married to Abul As, who was not a Muslim. When Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in had left the city of Makkah and most of them were now in Medina Munawwara, can you imagine, the daughter of a Nabi, she could not do Hijrat. She was trapped with a man whose name was Abu al-As, who was not a Muslim at that time. Eventually what had happened, the days came in which the Muslims were preparing to fight the Mushrikeen of Makkah, and it was the first battle in Islam. It is called the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, subhanallah, Abu al-As ibn Rabi also fights against the father-in-law, against the Muslimin. And so in this battle, alhamdulillah, the kuffar were crushed. 313 sahaba defeated everyone. And many of them were taken as prisoners of war. And one of them was the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What imtihan. The son-in-law of Rasulullah, Abu al-As, married to his daughter Hazrat Zainab, who is a resident in Makkah Mukarramah. They leave Makkah to fight the Muslims in Medina Munawwara, the men folks. And they are captured. It was decided that to free them, they will have to pay a ransom. They have to pay money. And only then they can be free. This was the mashwara. So everybody had someone who gave this, that. Abu al-As did not have anything to give. Now the wife of Abu al-As, she was in Makkah Mukarramah. So when she heard that this is what is happening, she sent something from Makkah to free Abu al-As. This is the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so what happened is that Allah's Nabi asked that Abu al-As, what is he giving for his ransom, for him to be free? So they said that something has come for him from the city of Makkah, and it is a necklace. It is a necklace. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, show me this necklace. And this necklace that was shown to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had tears in his eyes. Because this necklace was the necklace of Bibi Khadija. This necklace was the necklace of Bibi Khadija Tul Kubra. And the mother Bibi Khadija had given this as a gift to the daughter Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat Zainab was giving the mother's gift so that Abul As can be free. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had tears in his eyes. And he said that, my wife Bibi Khadija Tul Kubra, I remember her. She was the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the children of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from Bibi Khadija Tul Kubra. And so he took the necklace and he showed the companions and he said, I am taking permission from every one of you. If you deem it fit, if it is okay with all of you, that you can allow Abul As to go without paying an amount, and for me to keep this necklace and for my daughter to keep it, that will really make me happy. Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in says, O Nabi of Allah, you are the Rasul, whatever you decide, O Allah. But look at the akhlaq of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taking consultation, asking Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in, if you give me permission. And they gave permission. But he said that, look, I am allowing you to go to Makkah with one condition. Immediately send my daughter. Immediately send my daughter. That is why, my respected brothers, you know, when our children get married, sometimes we give a picture to the daughter that, oh my daughter, you know, you are married now. Now you've got nothing to do with us. Everything you have to do is with your father-in-law and mother-in-law. That is your house. Now if there's any jagra, remember, our doors are shut for you. Go in the hotel, but don't come here. And you know, some people talk such nonsense. And this is all from Hinduism. What is it? All from Hinduism. Are bhai, she is your daughter. What is she? Nobody can break that relationship. He is your son. Who is going to break that relationship? If any time in the world your son or your daughter needs your support, it is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to protect your children by. Yes. If your son and daughter is doing something that is wrong, and if they are the culprits, then it is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to take sides with your son and daughter just because they are your daughter and your son, but to tell them that, beta, beti, what you are doing is wrong and they are right. Tell them. Haq. And there is barkat in there. So that balance is there. You know, you don't shut the door. Bichari, sometimes you'll find, you know, I had once a conversation with a couple, and there was a lady who said that, you know, my father is very strict, and I know if something happens, I can accept zulm anyway, but I can't return back to my father's house. Subhanallah. You know, all of these things are all wrong, brothers. You know, that door is open, going to the mother-in-law, going to the father, mother, father-in-law, alhamdulillah, is all open, there is no problem. And this is not even our topic. Not even our topic. And so we have to be very, very careful. Allah's Nabi now puts a condition that, now I want my daughter with me. Because this is about Iman and Kufr. What is it? The difference is, it is about Iman and Kufr. Hijrat marks, it is a distinction point between Haqq and Batil. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. For you it is your deen, for me it is my deen. That is why a Muslim lady cannot marry someone who is a kafir. Someone who is a kafir. Because kufr and iman cannot be shared. Kufr and iman cannot be shared. So a mu'mina cannot marry a mushrik. A mu'mina cannot marry a mushrik. Subhanallah. And so, Abul As did return the favor. And he noticed that Allah's Nabi was very good with him. Immediately when he got to Makkah Mukarramah, in one narration it comes that even two companions were sent to make sure that Hazrat Zainab can come safely to Medina Munawwara. And as she sat on the camel, subhanallah, someone had shot an arrow or whatever it was, and the animal started prodding, and Hazrat Zainab, at that time she was also expecting, and she fell on the floor. She fell on the ground. And she sustained a lot of injuries. In fact, when she got to Madinatul Munawwara, when she passed away, the historians have said that she passed away because of the injuries when she fell from that camel. Now this is very easy and very something for us to understand. We have heard of cases, sometimes people come to me and say, Maulana, dua karna. You know, my so-and-so is ill. They are going for an operation, Nottingham Hospital, for a head operation and this and that. Why? Someone is riding a bike and they fell. Allahu Akbar. In coma, or have lost their memory. Or, subhanallah, the operation is so intense, you know, it can paralyze somebody. Sometimes you are in the bathroom and you can fall. And that one fall, if you fall on your head, what can happen? Subhanallah. The body is very, very fragile. And so when she fell, she sustained a lot of injuries. And then eventually when she passed away because of this injury. This is the qurbani of the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For the hijrat, for this Islamic calendar, Allah's Nabi, the daughter Zainab became, and she gave her life, shahadat in the path of Allah. Shahadat in the path of Allah because of this. So there is great qurbani, and alhamdulillah, you know, the more qurbani, the more sacrifice we do, inshaAllah ta'ala, the more Allah will reward us. It is Isha time. It is Friday. You could have been anywhere and everywhere. You could have been at home. You could have been on Evington Road at the dessert parlor somewhere. You know, having a nice dessert somewhere, enjoying Evington Road. And khana peena hota. Sab kuch. You could have done anything. You could have been in the gym. But no. Hum aayenge, hum sunenge. You know, we will drive and we will come and we will sit and we will listen. This is toiling. This is sacrifice. For this sacrifice, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of barakat for 7 generations. Pata hi nahi chalta hai. And this is what it is with hijrat. This was hijrat. But the more you do for Islam at an individual level or even at a collective level, you will see that there is barakat and it is all recorded and registered. A child who is becoming a hafiz, oh ho. Imagine the difficulty he's going through. Imagine all the other children have time to play, but this child, Hivs, has the pressure. 2 hours every day I have to give for my sabak para, for my door, I have to do this. You know, with the school, and then they have to do this. Allahu Akbar. If intense, you know, for the sake of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives them lots of barakat. When you work hard, Allah gives you barakat. So that is the first lesson that we learn from hijrat. The second lesson that we learn from hijrat, very quickly, my respected brothers, is the brotherhood that was established, Islamic fraternity. When the muhajirin came, they did not have anything. Look at the hearts of the Ansar. They gave everything what they had to their brothers, muhajireen, to allow them to stand up on their feet. Today when we see refugees in our city, we complain, oh, these refugees will take our jobs and this will happen and this will happen and that will happen, and you know, a lot of the people are racist and all sorts, by, you know, all sorts of things that we see. But the Quran praises the Sahaba. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارُ وَالْإِيمَانُ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And they love those who did hijrat towards them. They love the muhajirin who came. And you have seen, you have never seen an example in your life like this. Some Sahaba had 2 wives. They gave talaq to 1 wife and they said that this my brother has got no one. Go and do his khidmat and stay there for the pleasure of Allah. This is something that the modern mind will never understand. What is this? What is this? This lady came to me and she said to me, you know, on the 10th of Ashura, we had two ladies who became Muslim. How many? MashaAllah, two ladies. So the first woman that had come, she had a few questions. But she said to me, you know, I don't understand one thing. Why does the Quran say that in Jannat, the men will have Hur-e-een? The men will have Hur. Naeem, you're full of smiles now. Your sons are not here, are they? Okay. Full of Hur-e-een. They'll have so many Hur-e-een. But why is it that for the women, that is not mentioned? Why is it is not mentioned? So I said to her in simple words, I said, you see, do you think Allah Pak is the enemy of the women folks? Do you think so? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, and from insan you have two types. One is a male and a female. That gender is everywhere. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And then the Quran speaks, no doubt, that Hur-e-een will be given, but out of respect, today you will find no culture, no religion in the world legalizes for a woman to marry four husbands or five husbands. Have you seen it? It's not there in Hinduism, Sikhism, atheism, Judaism, Christianity. No, no community will say it is fine for a woman, you know, to marry five husbands legally. Nobody says that. Really. Why? Because of honor and respect that is given to the women folks. I says, let me explain to you. Let me explain to you. So I will also explain, because now I have touched it, so I have to explain. I said, Allah has honored the men with Hur-e-een, and there will be plenty of Hur-e-een in Jannah. But Allah has also honored the woman. So she said, how? I says, you see, Allah has the power of everything. The wife, whenever she sees the husband in the morning, the face will be one. Within 1 hour, the beauty will enhance. 2 hours, the beauty will enhance. So every time the wife meets the same husband, the beauty will be, what will it be? Increasing, changing by all the time. So every time she is with the husband, in her heart she knows it is my same husband, to maintain that honor and respect for that lady. But at the same time, the husband's beauty will increase. The husband's beauty will increase. Kabhi kabhi, you know, Juma, you come, you say, oh, mashallah, you know, Juma, you're looking very nice. You know, we can say that. Sometimes wedding time, you say, oh, mashallah, you know, you're looking very good today. Oh, bani tani naiwa. It looks like dulha is you, but you're not the dulha. So sometimes you'll find women dress up, men dress up. Don't we see all that? In Jannat, if the man wants to dress or he doesn't want to dress, is he lazy, not lazy? You know, some men don't change their socks for 7 days and it is stinking. And they don't change their vest for many days. Why? Ye sab wrong hai, guna hai. Kya hai? Biviyon ke liye apne badan ko saaf rakho. Saaf rakho, bilkul. Put oil on your body. This is also very important. Khushbu. In Jannat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala automatically will be changed. You look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm looking so handsome today. After Zohar, they example after, there's no Zohar. Oh, I'm looking even more handsome. And every time the wife will look at the husband, she will be content. She will think there is no one more handsome than my husband. This is the honor that Allah has given to the women. So for an example, this is the mobile phone. One screen, but you can see a lot of programs. You might go to YouTube, you might go to your WhatsApp, you might go. It is one face, isn't it? But you can see multiple things perhaps. You know, maybe it's a crude example, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Him to beautify that one body is not difficult. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the beauty. Increase the beauty. And so in Islam, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He does, there is justification. And I said that, subhanallah, the muhajirin gave everything. And this came out because they even were so equal in their sharing that some of the things that a person would not even think of, they said, for the pleasure of Allah, we will do that. For the pleasure of Allah. This tells you that a Sahabi, even his relationship with the wife was not for his own sexual desire. It was for the pleasure of Allah. This tells you about Sahaba. That is why I give you another dalil. Hazrat Hanzala. Hazrat Hanzala got married and it is his first night. First night he's married. Young Sahabi. And all of a sudden the alan is done. Allah's Nabi is saying, prepare yourselves for the battle of Badr. Prepare yourself for the battle of Badr. The Sahaba, their mizaj was very different. Like I told you, their mizaj was about shahadat. So he shot up and he woke up and he said, the wife is saying, where are you going? Do ghusl first. And he says, no. There's no ghusl right now. Right now there is labbaik to the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately he went and he said to his wife that, look, if I come back, I come back, alhamdulillah. But if I don't come back, tell some of the ladies to pass the message to the wives of Rasulullah or the women at home that this was our situation and that though I am a shaheed, some ghusl should be given to me. Hazrat Hanzala, look at them. They were prepared to leave everyone for the pleasure of Allah. Everything for the pleasure of Allah. And the decree of Allah was that Allah gave him shahadat. When they were counting all the sahaba and you know, the bodies of those who were shaheed, they said, we don't see Hanzala to be alive and we don't see Hanzala to be amongst the martyrs. We don't see him to be amongst those who are alive and those who are amongst the martyrs. Kya kare? This was very ajeeb. Kya hua? You know, Battle of Badr, it was 313 sahaba. It was a straightforward count. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that the malaika have taken his body up in the heavens and the angels are giving him ghusl and soon, very soon, Hanzala will come down. These were sahaba. These were sahaba, wallahi. And so my respected brothers, subhanallah, you know, it'll take me a lot of time now, so I'm going to stop. But we learn a lot of things from the hijrat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is the compassion element that is there, brotherhood that we can touch on. And also we can touch on the fact that this is a sign that victory is for the Muslims. Inshallah, if Allah wills, we will touch on that in another session. Allah Pak mujhe aapko har ek ko taufeeq de. Inshallah, just for a few minutes, if you can shut your eyes and mashallah, close your eyes and think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of the blessings that Allah Pak has given us. And in return, let the heart do shukr by saying the name of Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رحمن